Chassid Elach, Talmid Elach, the rabbi is here. Good morning, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. I always love hearing that song.
Yeah, same here.
Not about me, it's just I love hearing the Yiddish part of that song. It's really, really nice.
Agree. So
we're back now, a week over, a little after Pesach is done. You know, I was talking about this with my wife. I'm like, you know, we spend so much time before Pesach, cleaning and this and that and preparing. And then all of a sudden, Pesach is gone. It feels like it was so long ago. It's like, you know, you finished this week. It's like, but I hope everyone had a wonderful Pesach and the seders, and we're able to spend time with the family. And now we're taking all that energy, and we're going to infuse that in our daily life for the coming year till next Pesach, and we get re-energized then. But this week's Torah portion, we're going to talk a little bit about the week's Torah portion. We're going to talk a little bit about Remembrance Day, the Yom HaZikaron. And then we're also going to talk about this Shabbat, which is a very special Shabbat that we're going to have in Windsor, the Solidarity Shabbat with the Chabad of Poway, the devastating, terrible shooting that happened this past week. But let's start off with this week's Torah portion. We read that following the deaths of Nadav and Abihu, which were Aaron's sons, God warns against unauthorized entry into the Holy of Holies. Only one person, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, may go into the Holies of Holies, but when? Once a year on Yom Kippur. And that is it. We also learn about all the sacrifices, so on and so forth. Now, if you go and look at the words Acharei Mot, it means after the death. And it refers to the death of Aaron's two sons, as we just said, Nadav and Abihu, who they entered into the Holies of Holies without any authority to do so, and brought with them, as it says, Esh Zara, a strange fire, an incense mixture of their choosing. Now we have to note, we have to pay very close attention to their choosing versus the other sacrifices and mixtures that were told and given by Hashem, by God. While this action was born of a genuine desire, they didn't want to just do it to show, wow, we can go into the Holies of Holies. They wanted to, and they had this desire to connect with and to serve God on a wonderful spiritual way. However, their actions were met with instant death. And the commentators explain that while their motivation was closeness to God, their behavior, Hello?
Rabbi, I'm sorry. It was...
That's okay. Playing music in the background is okay. Good. Too.
You know what? We can do that.
I'm scared. Everyone will pay attention to the background music and not necessarily what I'm saying. Their behavior ignored the requirement and directive that God had given them. They acted emotionally, not rationally. And their behavior literally consumed them, resulting in their death. And what do we see? God then instructs Moses to tell his brother, Aaron, not to come unbidden into the Holy of Holies, lest he die, as his sons did. And the question arises, why did God deem it necessary to couple the instruction to Aaron with the death of his son? Would it not have been enough to say, don't do this. Do not go into the Holies of Holies. Otherwise, you will die. Just as your son. Keep out the son. We don't need to know that. Obviously, he's not going to go in. If he knows, he's going to die. So one of which I remember seeing in Rashi, which I happened to actually read last night when we do, when I do every night, we do a little bit of Chumash and Rashi, which Rashi is the basic commentator, and he compares this to a doctor telling a sick person what to do and what to avoid. And we should really face it. How many of us take our doctor's advice seriously? How many of us change our lifestyle and habits even after we weigh in, get our elevated cholesterol levels, and tell the truth about our lack of sleep and exercises. On the other hand, if we have a family member who died young from heart disease, God forbid, or if the doctor tells us that unless we avoid doing certain things, we will die just as so-and-so died, it makes it real and more powerful. If I just tell you, don't do this, it's not good for you. Okay, very nice. But don't do this because it will make you, it could kill you just like it killed another family member that had the same disease or whatever it is. You're going to take it more seriously. And therefore, we are much more likely to take the doctor's advice to heart. Whether we are acting or refraining from acting, God wants us to use our cognitive function as well as our emotional desires and how it has to be done in a harmonious way for our benefit. For Aaron, considering what was at stake, God wanted the warning to make a deep impression by appealing to both his rational and emotional brain, because on the emotional side, he wants to connect with God. He wants to be one with Hashem. He has that desire. So he will do anything, even go into the holies of holies, just like his children did. However, if he now thinks with the rational part of his brain, and he starts to realize, ooh, hold on a second, I can die just like my sons did when they had that yearning and desire. God has told me not to do it. That has a bigger lasting impression. And that is why in our lives, we have to make sure to use our rational and emotional part of the brain. Now, if you go and look, when the Jews were leaving Egypt, it wasn't just a physical change in geography. Because transitioning from a slave mentally to a free-willed human being that could embody holiness was the real journey. It's the journey of a lifetime. And the message here, which is something that is so important and which we can all really take to heart and really try to make part of our lives, is that we're not supposed to be enslaved by emotions, desires, unconscious, habitual behaviors. On the other hand, we are not to be detached from our feelings and live in a purely, thoughtful and always thinking world. It's a fallacy to think that it's even possible and futile to pit these aspects of us as adversaries, our emotional and our rationale. Rather, they are an inseparable part of the human condition. They have to go together. The trick, however, is to be conscious that those support and enrich each other. That they don't fight against each other. They give each other the support. And in the last few Torah portions that we've learned so far about the mind, the body, the soul connection, where improper negative speech, born of improper thoughts and emotions, manifests as physical ailments on the body. And this Torah portion tells us, and we need to understand how emotion drives thought, and thought drive emotion, but not a slave to either, but to integrate them so that you can be in the driver's seat. And you know, while I'm reading, I'm saying this right now, something just hit me as we're talking. We just now, this past week, finished Pesach, and we all turned our phones on after Pesach, and we saw this horrific attack that happened, an anti-Semitic hatred of an individual person shooting at Chabad of Poway, killing one person, Lori K, Aleha Shalom,
yeah,
and injuring three. The rabbi, a little girl, and her uncle. And if you go and look at this week's Torah portion, allowing your emotion to run your life turn out. There was so much emotion, hatred in that individual person, which to me I cannot understand how someone that's 19 years old can have so much hate. However, it's got to do, you know, there's another whole discussion with social media and education and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But that's what the Torah is telling us. You need to have both. You cannot allow one to take your life over. And this week, as the rabbi of Chabad of Poway, even when his fingers were dangling and they were shot, he got up in front of his whole congregation because he saw that they were all lost, they were all covered, they were all hiding, they were running.
Yeah.
And he got up and he said, "We are strong, we are united, they cannot ever break us." And his request and his plea to the whole world was that we should fill up the shul. Darkness, this terror happened in shul. What is our response to terror? What is our response to darkness? Is a little bit of light. And the light, the way that we're going to fight it, as well as we're going to fight it in Windsor, is that we're going to go to shul. We're going to fill up the shuls this week. And there are two options that everyone is able to be part of. Friday evening there's going to be a service at 6 o'clock at Bethel, and Shabbat Saturday morning at the Shara Shemayim, I will be there, Captain David Dumark will be there. We're going to have a service at 9:15, which will be our Shabbat service with extra prayers and a sermon, a speech that I will give on uniting and bringing people together in the face of this tragedy. What is the best way to do this is by coming to shul. So please make the effort to come and show that together we are strong. Am Yisrael Chai, no matter what is going to happen in the world, we as Jews, we always are going to stick together.
So I'm sorry, this event on Shabbat, it's all over the world? It's
all over the world. The slogan is, fill up the shul.
Fill up the shul.
And that is everywhere, every synagogue in, no matter where you are, go to a synagogue that you're affiliated with, but just go and be part of this, especially the request that the rabbi is at in the memory of this wonderful, amazing, caring mother, wife, and community activist, Lady Lori, who gave her life up and died just because she was a Jew and just because she was in shul for Yitzchak on the last day of Pesach. That is our job, to remember her and to do that. And, you know, this is also this week, and this all ties in, this week today is Yom HaZikaron, Holocaust Remembrance Day, and where we remember the 6 million who were perished. As Jews in Israel continue to be threatened by nations determined to destroy it, as bloody wars continue to claim lives in many parts of the world, and with the thunderous silence coming from the international community, as abuse and injustice often take root in our own communities, and that is because of the silence of good people. And we have to make sure that something like this never happens again. How does it not happen again? It happens, does not happen again if we are not silent. If we are silent, why would it not happen again? We have to not be embarrassed. We have to not be ashamed. We have to not be scared. We have to be proud. Not only with our emotions, but also with our rational, with our mind, with our brain. And I think this all ties in together. And what better way than to come together and remember, we will not be silent. We will speak up. We will be proud. We will do what has to be done to get this stigma, get this insanity out of this world and make sure that this world is a better place. So I encourage everyone, come to shul, be part of it. If you can't come for the whole service, come for a little bit, but just come and make your voice heard, and the world will know that we did not stand for this, and that Am Yisrael Chai, and we will always be chai. We will always live no matter what we go through.
Rabbi, I want to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too. And we should have a wonderful week, a happy week, a week that is going to just have peace, serenity, and happiness. Shabbat Shalom, Milan, and I look forward to talking next week.
Same here. Thank you again.
Okay, see you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.